Welcome to What's the Law podcast by the team at Jackson's Law Firm. Jackson's is a full-service law firm based in the northeast of England, working for businesses and private individuals. We're here to chat about what's the law and how it affects various stages in your life. In season one, we're going to take a look at starting a business, covering the four P's: planning, property, people, and problems. Each episode will feature interviews from a variety of business owners getting their perspectives. We know we're lawyers, but this podcast is going to be lighthearted, entertaining. We promise.
Hi, I'm Michael Sproat, and I'm a solicitor in the Dispute Resolution and Litigation Department. In this episode of What's the Law, we're going to be looking at some of the problems many businesses face when first starting up. Whilst most interactions with customers and suppliers will hopefully run fairly smoothly, unfortunately, there are certain instances where parties will inevitably fall out with each other. Disputes can arise because of all sorts of reasons, and regardless of how much parties try to avoid it, sometimes they are just unavoidable. In this episode, we'll be discussing some of the common disputes, as well as looking at what's the law when it comes to sorting them out. One of the most common problems businesses face is when a product or service is provided to a customer and the customer refuses to pay. Now, there may be a number of reasons for this. It could be because the customer has some kind of issue with the product, it could be because the customer cannot afford to pay, or it may just be that the customer doesn't want to pay. In either of these situations, the best course of action initially is to instigate your own credit control procedure. Instructing solicitors immediately without first speaking to the debtor could seem a little bit heavy-handed and may annoy those customers who have a genuine reason for the delay. It's therefore sensible to try to contact the debtor yourself by phone, email, or letter. If you don't receive a response, or you do receive a response but the debtor refuses to make payment, at that point it would be a sensible idea to instruct a solicitor. Before issuing a claim at court, our first port of call would be to send a letter before action to the debtor, setting out the amount of the debt and the details explaining why it's due. Recently, pre-action protocol for debt recovery claims has been introduced, which means that in certain situations, we have to give the debtor 30 days to respond before starting court action. However, if the debtor doesn't respond within 30 days or disputes the claim, we can then issue the claim at court. Once the claim has been issued and served, the debtor will have 14 days to acknowledge the claim and then a further 14 days to provide a defence. If the debtor fails to acknowledge the claim or fails to file a defence, we can then request a judgment in default. If the claim is defended, the claim will then progress towards a final hearing and a judge will decide the outcome. Once we've obtained a county court judgment, we can then request the debtor to make payment immediately. If they fail to do so, we would then look to enforce the CCJ. The most common method of enforcement would be to instruct High Court enforcement officers to attend on the debtor's premises and collect the debt. You may have seen some of the programmes on TV which show exactly what happens when a judgment remains unpaid. Hopefully at this point, the debt will be paid and the claim satisfied.
And now it's time for a little competition. Each of us have found an anecdote or story related to the episode in that particular area of law. We're joined by Declan Williams from local digital marketing agency, The Social Gene. He'll be deciding a winner by choosing his favourite.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Alexander and I'm a corporate and commercial solicitor.
Hi, I'm Matthew Rowlandson and I'm an employment solicitor.
Hi, I'm Helen Marram, a solicitor in the commercial property department.
So a man has attempted to sue Uber for ruining his marriage. The man claimed that once he logged in to Uber on his wife's phone, the app continued to provide her with notifications of his pickups and drop-offs. So whatever the wife saw has led to her filing a motion for divorce.
I feel like he's only got himself to blame. I was going to go with when an American sued the company for the coffee being hot and too hot, but I thought that was a too obvious one. So it's also in America, and it's the case of Pearson v. Chung, and this is better known as the Pants lawsuit, whereby there was a judge, Mr. Roy Pearson Jr., who had a dispute with a dry cleaning company whereby they lost his favourite pair of pants, well, trousers they were. At one stage, he was initially demanding $67
million. $67 million?
For inconvenience, mental anguish, and attorney fees for representing himself as a result of their failure to live up to the satisfaction guaranteed sign that was displayed at the store. He did
end up not being successful. It went to trial and it was held up as an example of frivolous litigation.
Do you know if he won?
He didn't win.
Oh, God.
He didn't get his pants back, didn't he?
He did get his pants back.
And so all that time, where would his pants have been? Like, how could he, like, come up with I'm going to sue you, I'm going to come up with all these legal arguments, but they actually still had his pants?
They'd also previously lost a pair of his, and they'd settled for, I think, about $300 a few months before that. But during the negotiations, he refused to accept $6,000.
He wanted in settlement. $67 million.
Yeah.
Mine, ironically, is American as well. So can you remember when they used to run those prizes schemes? You'd, like, buy a kind of cork and you'd get points and you'd convert them to sort of prizes, basically. Mm-hmm. In 1999, Pepsi ran a similar one. So as part of that campaign, there was an advert in which a teenager shows up in a Harrier jump jet with the text, "Harrier fighter, 7 million Pepsi points." So someone, using a bit of ingenious planning, saw the advert, realised that you could buy the points for 10 cents each. He then sent a cheque for 700,000 to gain the required 7 million points. And basically asked them to provide the jet. As you can imagine, Pepsi refused to let him claim a jet worth $23 million. He took him to court for breach of contract. Unfortunately, he didn't get the jet.
Oh,
I think he should have got the jet.
I was really rooting for him.
You know?
Mm. Oh, well.
So Romanian killer Pavel Mircea tried to sue God for breach of contract in 2005, claiming the Almighty reneged on their deal made at his baptism. He said he was supposed to protect me from all evils, and instead he gave me to Satan, who encouraged me to kill. He demanded reimbursement for cash he'd spent on prayers and religious goods. Obviously, the judges rejected the claim.
I liked yours, but I can't remember what it was.
It was the bands.
Oh, George used to do the dry cleaning.
They lost his bands.
What was yours?
About the Uber driver and the adultery. The divorce.
He deserved everything.
I feel like we're going with a joint winner over for you two.
Yeah, we'll have that.
Yeah.
It's time for the interviews with some business owners with a variety of different backgrounds. Throughout season one, we've been talking to Sharon Sinclair Williams from The Social Gene, Maureen McCarthy from Primary Publishing Teesside, Tom Howsam from Paid, Peter Turner from Cocoon and Bauer, and Lou Tonner from Wonder Films.
Hey, I'm Lou Tonner, the Managing Director of Wonder Films, and we create high-impact, engaging video helping businesses beat the scroll on social media.
Basically, when you provide the services to your customers, and I'm guessing you send out an invoice, do you have a set sort of period where they've got to pay in between, so a set period of days that they have to pay after?
Yeah, our invoices, we put in our contract 14 days after the invoice has been sent to them. The way that we do things, though, is we generally take a 50% deposit or so much deposit before we start pre-production, mm-hmm. and it secures the shoot date, and then once they've paid that, then we start work, and then there's a final payment as well.
Yeah. It's quite a good idea because obviously it gives you a bit more security, obviously in case something goes wrong, if they don't pay, you've still got that sort of pot of money that they have paid up front, so it's quite a good idea. Have you ever had any issues with customers not paying or paying late?
Only once, and it was quite an early on situation, and we learned a lot from that one. It took forever to get paid for it, and then that taught us to actually, like, even though we say we don't begin work until this is paid, mm-hmm. and then we don't deliver the final video until the final amount's paid, there was a time where we thought, oh, we trust that person, so we'll just give them it, and then it took months to get paid. So
how did you go about getting it back? Did you get in contact with them? And
we got advice because we were getting ignored, and then we were told just to send a firm email, and then it just worked, and
that prompted payment.
And then it wasn't awkward or anything either. It was just like, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. And then it was paid. So
that's good that you've only had that one sort of instance. Have you had any other disputes with suppliers or anything, or any breaches of contract that you've come across?
No, we haven't had any other issues like
any
that.
Any other disputes, no, that's no. fine. And if, say, for example, you did have any in the future and maybe had to get solicitors involved, had to go to court, would you sort of be nervous about the process, or would you be quite comfortable in obviously going to someone for assistance or anything like that?
I think I'd feel comfortable going to someone for assistance, but I think if you're ever in that situation where you have got a dispute, I think it's always going to be an uncomfortable situation. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we as a company never get into that position where we have to seek advice to help in a dispute with a supplier or a customer. But if it did happen, it would really suck.
My name is Maureen McCarthy and I am the owner of Primary Publishing Teesside Limited. My company owns a franchise, it's called Primary Times in Tees Valley, and it's a publication, it's a guide for parents of what's on over the holidays.
So when you provide services or products to customers, do you have set payment terms whereby they've got to pay by a certain date? Or
I do, yes. So the way I work is I invoice my clients when my publication gets delivered and then they have a 3-week period to pay me.
Right, that's quite a good idea. And since obviously starting your business, have you had any issues with customers not paying?
Yes.
And how did you go about resolving that?
Nobody really pays me on time, but I get it within maybe 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
But some businesses, I think when we've gone past the 2-month period, I was in touch with quite a few businesses and I had to say I'm going to have to get my solicitor involved.
Yes.
And that didn't really work. So when I did go to do that, I think I sent quite a few emails and I had a few phone calls to say, well, you know, can we sort this out before I do mm-hmm. go to a solicitor? And it was like, yes, yep, yeah, I'll sort it out. I'll do it tonight. I'll mm-hmm. do it. And then nothing happened. So I think I sent a final email to say, if this isn't resolved within the next 7 days, then I'm going to have to take legal action. And it was resolved then.
Was that before you got the solicitor
instructed? So that was before I instructed the solicitors. I did have to speak to a solicitor. I think I rang up for some advice. So there would have been someone there for me to go to if I had to, yes.
Right. Absolutely. And have you ever thought about maybe taking or asking for payment up front?
Yeah, I do get some new clients will pay me up front, a brand new client, but existing clients, they have got the 3-week. And then, and it's the existing clients that I seem to be having more of a problem with.
Okay. Yeah. And I know you mentioned before about obviously you were almost at the point where you would have to instruct a solicitor. If it got to the point of going to court, would you be familiar with the court process, or would you pretty much be relying on the advice sort of given to you by the solicitor?
I'd be relying on the advice. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would take it to court because the money that I would be trying to retrieve, it's not huge amounts.
Yeah.
So I think I would lose out massively if I did end up going to court.
Yeah, I suppose the problem is depending on the value of the debts that you've got. If it's under sort of £10,000, it would be allocated to what's called the small claims track.
Right, okay.
And on that track, you can only recover sort of nominal costs, whereas obviously if you're instructing solicitors and it costs quite a bit, it's only really sort of worth it if the debt's a sort of substantial amount.
And mine aren't.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I've got, so I could have 100 clients who are advertising with me.
Yeah.
But it's not a huge amount, so,
Sometimes, though, it's worthwhile even getting a solicitor instructed just to sort of open up that initial correspondence, because even, like, a 7-day letter or a letter before action can sometimes prompt payment, so it's sometimes quite a good idea to look into that.
Thank you for listening to What's the Law, podcast by Jackson's Law Firm. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favourite podcasting app. Share this podcast, find us on social media, and use the hashtag What's the Law Pod.